God. Let's lift up our hands and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we're so thankful that we can come into your presence. I'm asking, Lord, that the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit would be in this place, that you'd anoint my lips of clay, that the power of the Holy Ghost would be here today, Lord, to meet the needs of your people. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Praise the name of the Lord. God is so good. I want you to keep in prayer the funeral that's going to be held here Saturday for Brother Isaac Jackson. One of his last wishes was he wanted the gospel message preached at his funeral. So praise God. That's what we're going to do. So it's pretty exciting. There's going to be a lot of people here, but we want God to do what he always does. He always comes to our assistance and does what he needs to do. Praise God. I had an exciting weekend celebrating the first birthday of my grandson. Never seen so many kids in my life. They were everywhere. It was like they'd open up a midget zoo. They were just everywhere. And you feel like you're going to step on them. And I got exhausted just watching them run around. It was so much fun. Praise God. It makes me feel even more special being 73. Praise God. We're going to be giving you a Bible study tonight. The title of the message is Almost Too Good to Be True. Almost Too Good to Be True. Does anybody here need help right now? Are you, is there something in your life that you need help right now? Are you facing a situation that has the potential to sink you some way or another? Praise God. I know there are a lot of folks here that are in need of divine assistance. Sometimes it's just a reoccurring problem that you can't seem to get your hand on, and you try and you pray and you do a lot of things that you know you should do, but deliverance sometimes can seem impossible. Sometimes people come in here with a broken heart. And there's Nikki out of the nope. Hi. How did she get in here? Let's give it up for Nikki. One of our favorite. She finally came to her senses. She's coming back home. Yay! Hallelujah! Where else would she want to be? That's what I'd like to know. But there's so many issues in our life that can has a tendency to just kind of break us down or break us to the point where we really don't see any hope. So I believe this Bible study is going to help somebody tonight. It's already helped me just put it together. If you have your Bible with you tonight, you could turn to the big screen in Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. I love this scripture. It kind of makes you remember who our God is and what he's promised for us. The Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Oh my. Verse number 13, For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, "Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Praise God. You know, it's no mistake that God put "fear not" in front of that verse. There's 63 times in the scripture that the Bible says "fear not." God wants us to not be fearful of anything that comes our way, because fear will eliminate faith. It will take it away. It will drain your faith away. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Fear, on the other hand, will take away every promise of God that you have coming in your life. So you want to really pray that the fear, the only fear we need to have, is the fear of the Lord. Praise God. I think the Lord of the universe is saying to you and me, don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. Isn't he? But he goes further than that. He says, here's my hand. Grab hold of my hand. I don't know about you, but I get a visual of James Hawk and his granddaughter, and that little tiny hand and that big massive hand. And when she has a problem, he says, "Don't worry, Daddy's here." So God's saying, "Fear not, I will help you." Listen, he made the universe. He made the stars. He spoke things into existence. He is the one who they're still looking, trying to figure out how big the universe is. They're still looking at things and trying to determine what caused all this. The one who said, "I will help you. I will help you." You know, when my children were small, they used to, there'd be a thunderstorm coming by, and, you know, they'd all jump into bed. "Oh, Daddy, I'm scared." "Don't worry, I'm here. Like, what am I going to do with lightning?" But it's a good feeling. Or you hear, sometimes I'd hear a scream, because my daughters just love spiders. And I hear this scream, and I said, "Oh, my God, this is my opportunity. I'm ready to fight." And I get down and I said, "What is it? There's a spider up there." "What?" Don't worry. "Where's that fly swatter?" If they're real big, I used to call Peggy. Well, you don't want to take chances. I'm the man of the house. I mean. Oh, my. Oh, yes. This is the thought of God's hand in my hand. Kind of gets me trembles, kind of makes me wonder, why have I ever been in a state of mind where I was fearful about anything? Take my hand. Some of you need to get into the idea of God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? I said, who can be against you? Lift up your hands and ask yourself. But sometimes we hesitate. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know what it is. But sometimes we get this idea. Perhaps you feel like you can do it alone. I can get through this. All of our lives have been taught, you know, be a man. Men don't cry. Men can get through these things. Not. You're not going to get through this. Because God's going to force you to go through things until you acknowledge that you need his help. Praise God. Or the old saying, "I got myself into this mess. I'll get myself out." Oh, I don't think so. You might do some of it, but it'll take God to get you out of the real mess. You know, after my salvation experience in 1981, I had a mountain of issues come against me. And I remember going to the IRS with Brother Nelson, and he said, "What are you going to tell him?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I have no idea." And I really didn't. So only thing that kept me going is I got thinking, well, wait a minute, God knew all about this when he saved me. He knew my problems. He knew the things that were in my life. And I just had this thing come over me. God's going to take care of me. Why wouldn't he? That's his job. That's not my job. I walked in there with all kinds of confidence that God would take care of me. And he did. I don't know how he did it, but in a few short months, $26,000, $28,000 of the IRS that I owed was gone. Praise God. I love it. So if you're having a financial issue, fear not. I will help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Another key to receive the promise of God is found in the book of James, in the first chapter, in the fifth verse. The Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." In paraphrasing this, basically, he's saying, look, you're not smart enough to get through life by your own devices. You may think you are, but you're really not. You need to ask God and pray for wisdom every single day of your life. Because every single day of your life, there are devices and snares and things that the devil's putting in your path to destroy you. Praise God. I wanted to have Pastor Grant share a testimony that I think kind of helps give you an illustration When you get to the end of your rope, that's when you really start getting the help of God.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. Most of you are not aware, but through the years, Calvary Gospel Church, we've seen quite a few miracles. After I came here, we had a lady by the name of Elaine Moe. How many of you knew Elaine? We got, okay. Elaine had sarcoidosis and she went blind. One night we were casting the demon out of a lady, and she wanted me to pray for her, and I prayed for her, and I just felt inspired to tell her that she's going to be healed. When she left the church, though, she couldn't see. She went home and went to bed, woke up the next morning, and she could see. So without her glasses, she goes and gets the Yellow Pages and looks, and she can read the small print. The doctors couldn't believe this actually happened. You remember, Brother Brunker, when you parked your truck outside of a store over at Easttown, and I think he left it running, I'm not for sure. Went inside because his daughter, he wanted to pick up his daughter from work. And he turned around, and would you believe somebody was driving off with his truck? And the last they saw, it was going down towards Chicago on the freeway. We all gathered in a prayer meeting we had, and we prayed that somehow he'd get that truck back. What was it, a week or 2 weeks? Later, his daughter goes to the door and looks out and says, "That's Dad's truck out there." And would you believe that whoever stole it returned it? My. Now, I may be taking too much of Brother Thomas's time, but, you know, if we wanted to, we could take two or three services, just miracles that God had performed. Peter Kelly, when he came back from Vietnam, he brought with him, he was just a servant provider for this young man, a Vietnamese boy, and he brought him back, turned him over to the authorities. Years later, Peter Kelly married, and his wife was having a baby, and the doctor that she had couldn't be there, so this doctor walks in and introduces himself, and he's delivering the baby. And while he's delivering the baby, he made eye contact with Peter. And as soon as Leon came, they walked outside, pulled off their mask, and that was the boy that he had brought from Vietnam. And when I dedicated Leon, that doctor was here. I went into the hospital just a little while later, and they couldn't find out what was wrong with me, but I had a blood clot. And Dr. Herr came in that room when I was going home the next day and said, "John, I just have a special interest in you. I don't want you to go home. I want to run another test." They ran another test, and I was in the operating room the next morning and had a massive cancer in my colon. You know, I consider that just to be a miracle. Praise God. But the miracle that Brother Thomas wanted me to elaborate on, 1979, we desperately needed some land to build. And we looked and looked, and Brother Irvin Manley turned in several offers, and they just turned us down because we had a low offer on some pretty expensive property. This one piece here was owned by several attorneys, and little did I know the night that I was praying about it that they were having a meeting with the Madison City Council. And they had a proposal to develop this, and the Madison City Council turned it down. But I remember staying at church, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to make another offer on property because we cannot afford anything. And just as sure as I sit here tonight, I heard the voice of God. And God says, how do you know you can't afford it? I said, but we just can't. And God says, how do you know? I said, well, I'm putting all my papers in the file in my office, and I'm not even going to look at them anymore. I can't spend all this energy looking for property. God said the third time, how do you know you can't afford it? And I went to prayer, and the Lord says, now what piece of property would you like to have? I said, well, you know, the premier piece of property is the one that we've been turned down on that's out by the freeway because it's highly visible. Would you believe in prayer that night I pulled the chalkboard out and I began to write on the chalkboard as I was directed of God? Come daylight, I was still there. I looked at my watch and I made a trip to all of our board members' home. I said, I just want to share something with you. I want to make an offer to these attorneys, $138,000 for this piece of property. And I want to offer them $38,000 down payment and get them to finance it. Well, we didn't have $38,000. But I presented this to the church, and I told the people that when I turned the offer in, I said, we're going to raise this money. Said, will you raise the money and then let us know? Well, in 2 weeks, we had $38,000. And praise God. Sister Grant and I pledged the first $1,000. And I didn't, $1,000? I'd never even seen $1,000. And would you believe we had a guest that came in on Sunday morning and put a check in the offering for Pastor Grant for whatever he needs this money for, and it was for $1,000. So we went and officially made the offer. We had the check for $38,000. They accepted it. They had been declined. We didn't know that they wanted a whole lot of money for this property. And we bought this piece of property that was valued over $1 million for $138,000. How do you know you can't afford it? Praise God. God owns the Cadillacs on 1,000 hills.
Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. We just talked about the book of James. Seek wisdom. I know Pastor Grant has told me over the years that he has prayed every day since he's been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost some 22 years ago. A little longer than that, but he has prayed every day for wisdom. And this is something that you want to be praying because you need wisdom not just for your job, but you need wisdom to understand the needs that are around you, wisdom to be able to perform those things that God's called you to do. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you know, after Pastor Grant shared that story, he brought to mind so many other miracles that I can recall, but we're talking about almost too good to be true. So this is really the essence of this message is never forget that God's involved in every decision you make, and something wonderful will happen if you will allow him, and it will be too good to be true. I remember when Sisters Loving Sisters didn't have a building. didn't have a place to go. And suddenly a building came out, and they asked Pastor Roy. And then it was kind of like too good to be true. They had their own building. They had their own facility. Praise God, because they believed in the Almighty God. Praise God. You ever wondered why God gives us wisdom? Because he knows we need it. Lean not unto your own understanding. God is able to do above and beyond that which you ask or even think. You know, when God gives you wisdom, he doesn't criticize you for asking. There's no dumb question. There's no dumb asking when it comes to God. You know, as a pastor, we're asked a lot of questions by different people. And I'd love to be able to just say, you know, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that you're seeking or having need of will follow after you. I'm just a man, but if you go to the Almighty God and seek him with a pure heart and a diligent spirit, God will make sure that your needs are met. You know, when a baby's taking those first faltering steps, and inevitably he's going to fall to the floor, right? You know, we don't walk over there as parents and say, what in the world's a matter with you? Clumsy, get up. We rush over there and we pick them up and we encourage them to take a few more steps. And when your baby cries out, Daddy, help me, melts my heart. Or my granddaughter says, Grandpa, could you help me? Oh, I'll melt like a popsicle on the 4th of July. Praise God. How much more can we trust our Heavenly Father? Praise God. His wisdom, his help has been offered. But so many times people just say, you know what? I can handle this. I can do this. But he's promised to help you. Just ask for it. He'll give it to you freely. Praise God. It's almost too good to be true. Another scripture that seems almost too good to be true is in Jeremiah 33:2. You know, you can develop your own list of too good to be true scriptures. You can look around this auditorium and talk to people who have come from total darkness into his marvelous light. It's too good to be true. How does Noah Strand come from a 5x8 into a nice house out in Stoughton, Wisconsin? How do you figure that? Praise God. Jeremiah 33:2, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Verse number 33, call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call on me. Stop texting. Call on the name of the Lord and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Praise God. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and their hosts have I commanded. Praise God. You know, when you begin to think of the goodness of Jesus Christ and all the things he's done for you, you think, how can I repay him? In the New International Version, the words of David in Psalm 63 kind of helps us, gives us a, what is God looking for here? Psalm 63:7, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David was overwhelmed. He was so excited and happy, the only thing he could do was sing. Praise God. That's what we need to do. It pleases God when we sing praises unto him. It pleases God when we worship him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In spite of what we see, in spite of what we feel, just remember, his hand's down there reaching for you. All you have to do is get yourself in that hand. Get under the blessings of God. Praise God. I love to make up songs. You can ask my wife. My daughter's going, yes, yes, yes. I don't know, they just come popping into my head, especially like the old songs I knew when I was a teenager. The songs come to my mind, and immediately God gives me a verse that corresponds in the scripture. So I sing songs. I know it's crazy, but you know, you ought to hear me in the shower. I'm telling you, I got some good moves in the shower. Praise God. I know about you, but I love some of these old Pentecostal songs. Some of those songs like, "When I Think of the Goodness of Jesus and All He Has Done for Me, My Soul Cries Out, Hallelujah, Praise God for Saving Me." Praise God. I love that song. "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He has done for me, my soul cries out, Hallelujah, praise God." You know what? Is anybody here not saved? Boy, if you're not saved tonight, we can really fix you up here good. You can be singing the songs of Zion tonight. Praise God, praise God. I like that, the old song too. I am blessed. I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, I am blessed. When I lay my head down in the evening, I am blessed. You know what? When you wake up in the morning, you know the best thing for you to do is pinch yourself. You're still alive. You're still saved. You still have an opportunity to make heaven your home. Start counting your blessings instead of sheep. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I got a lot of songs I'd love to sing, but I don't think it would work real well. Place would clear out. I've been saved for 34 years, 7 months, and 5 days, and I want you to know I cannot get over my salvation. I am excited, probably more excited today than I have ever been, because now I know I'm coming to the finish line. I have run the course. It won't be long, and I'm going to be into the presence of the Almighty God. Listen, this is what we're all striving for. I don't care what you're doing, how much money you have or how little you have. One of these days, the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Do you realize what time we're in here? Do you understand that this is the end of time? So what you need to do is make sure that there's nothing keeping you. There's no lingering sin that's keeping you from being taken from this planet to the eternal home. Praise God. But even if you lived another 20 years, the Lord tarries, one of these days every one of us will stand in the presence of God. I want to hear that, "Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant." But it's not going to happen because I just will it. It's going to happen when I make sure that my life and my speech and everything I do lines up with the word of the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Another wonderful scripture that I just love is in Hebrews 1:13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Praise God. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Did you bring your angels with you tonight? You may not know it, but they're here to minister to the heirs of salvation. You may not understand that, and maybe you don't even care, but listen, I love my angels. I've never met them, but I know over the years, I know when they've intervened in my life. I know when I should have had an accident and somehow I got out of it. I know every time that things happen to me, it's like amazing. How did you get out of it? It was because you're so wise. No, because my angel, the angel of the Lord, is with us. Praise God. In the book of 2 Kings, Elijah's servant was terrified by what he saw. He looked with his eyes. He looked at everything that was around him. He was struck down with fear. Isn't that what happens to us? Sometimes you got these bills, you got these circumstances, you got all these things surrounding you. Look what happens here. 2 Kings 6:16, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Praise God. I said, fear not, because there's more good angels than there are bad angels. And the Spirit of the Lord has promised us that when sin abounds, the grace of God shall much more abound. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. You know, the Bible says, having ears, they do not hear. Having eyes, they do not see. Pray that God would open up your ears and your eyes that you could see the world from the perspective of the Almighty God. Praise God. In these last days, the church needs to pray that God open up our eyes. We are in terrible times right now. You know, as things of this world, they're getting bad. They're getting very, very bad. Supreme Court has made some decisions that diametrically oppose the word of the Lord. And we sometimes get negative when we talk about all the things that are happening. But if we want to change what's happening, we need to turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, praise God, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a solution to this crazy world that we're living in. Multiple killings, multiple everything going on all around us. If we will just humble ourselves, praise God. If you're not praying now, you need to get up and just start doing it. Just start, do it now. Don't wait, just do it now. You know, when this thing really comes to a head, there's going to be a terrible persecution if the Lord tarries all over this land. You look at any country that's went the way of the United States of America, you're going to see some things. What they did, they took the Bibles away, they took and they killed the Christians. They did all these things. It may not be in your lifetime, but your children, your children's children, if the Lord tarries. But if we right now will humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, then God promised he would hear from heaven, praise God, and forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want this land to be healed. I love this country. I love the things that it stands for. Praise God. Hallelujah. Time would not permit me to share all the scriptures in my heart that are almost too good to be true. And just going to name a few of them. All things are possible to those who believe. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Your heavenly Father knows your needs before you pray. Praise God. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up because things don't happen on your timetable. Allow the fullness of God to take it. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions we ask for. Does it get any better than this? Praise God. These are too good to be true. We've been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Does that excite you? Joint heirs with the King of the universe? I don't know. The Bible says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth praises unto him. Hallelujah, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's just take a praise moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. Praise God, praise God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Is that what you think about during the day? Is that what you really think about during the day? Praise God. You can be honest with me. But, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You don't renew your mind on the headlines or by CNN. You renew your mind by reviewing the word of the Lord. It's forever settled in heaven. It has life inside of it. It will tremendously change your life. Praise God, praise God. I'd like to share a simple formula that maybe would help some of you receive some of these wonderful promises of God. Romans 10:17 gives us the formula. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is what it says there. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. A word in this circumstance is rhema, a word that is spoken. The meaning is obvious when you look at the next part. It says, hearing by the word of the Lord. So if the word's not spoken, you can't hear it. This word is alive. It will speak to you. It will literally speak to you. It will speak to you when you're headed towards sin. It will speak to you when God wants you to witness. It'll speak to you when he puts things in your heart. The rhema of God is the spoken word of God that comes to your conscious mind. How many of you have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? How do we know that that's what we're supposed to? Because that's a spoken word of God. Before you were even born, God already knew all about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. The principle here is not simply reading your Bible and seeing black marks on a white paper. Some of these black marks must be transformed into a voice that you can hear. As you begin to study the Word of God and hide the Word of God in your heart, that Word begins to speak to you. It begins to talk to you. It makes you respond to life in a way that you've never responded before. Who took swearing out of my heart? Who took those things that I was bound with from my spirit? The word of the Lord, praise God. The Holy Spirit that resides inside of us is what will quicken the rhema, God's word. The Holy Spirit knows just the word you need at any given moment. He directs you to the word's wisdom, and he makes it come alive to you, and faith is released to perform the word. How many of you follow what I'm saying? There's times when you know when to witness. There's times when you know what to say, and the Spirit of the Lord quickens a scripture in your heart, and you know exactly what God has in mind for you. Praise God. I've had it happen so many times that... And I'm not saying I'm bragging, look at Mr. Spiritual. I'm just saying there's no reason you cannot get to the point where God's speaking to you, not just occasionally, but you seek him with all of your heart. Take everything that's keeping you from giving your whole heart. You know, some people have come to me and said, you know, I've got a person at my job. Should I actually, I don't feel comfortable witnessing them. Why not? The word already tells you what to do. God is not willing that anyone should perish, that all should come to repentance. Praise God. Hallelujah. When it comes to healing, when it comes to anything that's going on in your life, you can find the rhema of God and you can apply it to your life. Praise God. Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. If you weren't saved, would you want someone to do and speak to you? Aren't you glad someone witnessed to you? Aren't you glad somebody took the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you? So we have a divine obligation then to share with everybody who will be willing to listen to our story. Some people get all hung up about witnessing. Just tell them your story. Just tell them what happened to you and how you went from darkness to light. And I look around this room, there were some dark characters around here. There are some people that you wonder, and I was one of them. But guess what? My story then becomes even more valid to somebody who's suffering or going through the same things that I have went through. Praise God. So that's the key to witnessing. Just tell your story. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Don't worry about how many scriptures you know or don't know. Just let the Spirit of God that's inside of you, he'll give you all the information you need to be successful. Praise God. As you listen to the rhema, next thing that happens, your faith comes. But it's more than that. That faith, you have to act on what God has revealed to you. If you don't do that, it's not going to happen. Have you ever had God tell you to witness somebody or go talk to somebody? I don't know, but I have. And I'm so thankful that I heard what God said, because these people are now in heaven because they were dying. You don't think about it. What have I got to lose if someone refuses me and won't let me into their home? Praise God. I've been kicked out of some places that, praise God. Another scripture that just is an amazing scripture to me, Psalms 103:3. If anybody is here today and you have never understood what really happens when God fills you with his Holy Spirit. Psalms 103:3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? All thine iniquities. He doesn't leave anything. Who healeth some of your diseases? All of your diseases. I don't care what you have. God has promised to heal them all. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? I've been there. I know what it feels like to be relieved from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Here's the part in verse 12 that I really love. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I said he's removed them. If that doesn't excite you anymore, you need to go back to your first love. You need to go back to the point where God touched you and made you understand that you were a sinner in the need of grace of God. Every sin that you've ever committed from the day you're old enough to be accountable is gone as far as the east is from the west. And everybody said, hallelujah. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Anybody here fear the Lord? You know, that's the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear the Lord, you will not be afraid to sin against him. You won't be taking him seriously. You somehow think that you've got a right to sin. No way. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Someone said, you're just like little old dirt balls. I'd be a rather large dirt ball. But Ezekiel 36:26. Another promise almost too good to be true. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What a promise. He will take your old sinful human nature and put within you the heart of God. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. I've had people say, I could never live like you live. But you don't have to worry about it. If you've truly repented, God will cause you. He'll give you the strength to do it. The Holy Spirit that resides within you will do the things that you're unable to do. Praise God, praise God. If in the name of Jesus Christ, anybody's here that would like, if you'd stand with me, there's a scripture where Jesus talked about sparrows. He said, if these sparrows, one of those sparrows die, your heavenly Father knows about it. I want you to listen to this song. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who this message was for, but I say this. If you begin to listen to this song, ask yourself, does God really love you? Does he really care about you? Does he really know what's going on in your life? Yes, he does. And I'm going to open this altar up when someone would like to come and renew their relationship with God, or perhaps for the very first time, they would like to give their heart to the Lord. Please feel free to come up. I don't care what's going on, but I know this, there's a God who said he'd take care of all of your need according to his riches and glory.
Should the child